from Redeemer Broadcasting. This is Holding All Things Together for this third weekend in February. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. Do you feel weary of the constant barrage from legacy media, misleading and sometimes outright lying about our good law enforcement people and immigration officers? There seems to be a relentless demonization of ICE, even from some of our pulpits in America. Fortunately, there are a few media alternatives that provide honest, serious, unapologetically patriotic media. Today we consider one, Proud American Studios. The group is composed of former operators, agents, and intel and law enforcement officers. They break down the stories legacy outlets seldom touch, using podcasts, forums, and films. The participants have served for decades on the front lines, protecting our nation. These men and women are building a patriotic multimedia company that honors American values. They confront misinformation, elevate frontline voices, and deliver fact-driven multimedia that cuts through the noise and challenges much of the false narratives promoted by progressive media outlets. Today we discuss this new entry with our friend Tyler O'Neill of The Daily Signal.
As well as they have a lot of these shorter videos, which for the men in the audience, I'm sure, you know, you'd love to see little videos of action that are showing what these agents are going through on a daily basis. And so what these guys have done, they're working, you know, they're like a Hollywood studio, but with actual experience on the ground in enforcing the law. So they know how to tell the stories of fighting organized crime, of getting to the bottom of investigations, and what the action actually looks like for these agents.
Also ahead, Pastor Bill Shisko looks at full contentment and our condition as based on the Shorter Catechism. Later in the program, we reflect on Washington's birthday, which is February 22nd. Our first president of these United States would preside over a republic, pressured to become king, yet taking the role of a servant leader of a representative government. George Washington would often side with Hamilton for the overall good of the nation. Today, Zach Wiss joins us to discuss the history and legacy of President George Washington. Finally, we'll take another look at This Week in History. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
We're dealing with the Shorter Catechism section on the moral law, the Ten Commandments, part of what is called sound teaching or healthy teaching. Believing the right things is really good for you. And you can get a form of sound teaching that we call the Shorter Catechism just by reaching out to Redeemer Broadcasting and requesting one. So we're dealing with the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Now we come to the very, very last of the Ten Commandments, and it's an interesting one. The Tenth Commandment is, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, and then there's a list of things that you're not to covet. Now, what's required in the Tenth Commandment? Full contentment with our own condition, and not envying or grieving at the good of our neighbor. Well, what's this about? Well, covetousness is, again, as the Catechism says, having a full contentment with our own condition. And we have a powerful force in our culture that will battle literally at every moment against your full contentment with your own condition. And that's called marketing. Marketing has been called the art and the science of convincing you to buy something that you never knew you needed. And you are bombarded by this, and your resistance breaks down, and you will purchase more than you need, so you are loaded with stuff. And that becomes an intoxicant, what's often called retail therapy, leading to debt and distress of mind and soul because you're in such debt. Covetousness leads to this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says he's learned in whatever state he is in that to be content. Memorize that and learn to be content where you are. And then Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your condition be without covetousness. Be content with what you have, for he himself has said, and this is beautiful, I will never leave you and I will forsake you. I don't want to be too simplistic, but when you have God, you have all that you need. We'll look a little bit more at contentment next week.
On the Zoom line with us today is Tyler O'Neill, our friend from the Daily Signal. Tyler, it's great to have you back with us.
Yeah, great to be with you, Dan.
Tyler, you've seen it happen. It's popular nowadays, it seems, to demonize immigration enforcement, like we're seeing happening in Minneapolis. I even see some pastors that try to demonize this sort of thing, kind of posing like a fake empathy, not realizing that what we're seeing with illegal aliens is actually destroying some of our families. So why don't you tell us about your opinion of that, and also how there's a new media network that's seeking to combat this anti-American spin?
Yeah, so we hear story after story. The left loves to seize on any sort of thing that they can suggest is an abuse from law enforcement, particularly from immigration and customs enforcement, and run with the story before everything is figured out. So I think the biggest example was this kid who, you know, none of us wants to hear about a five-year-old kid being, you know, left by his father and then having ICE have to take care of him. But you know, what we saw here in this case, you know, immediately the headline is, oh, ICE detains five-year-old.
Yes.
When you actually hear what really happened, it was that the child's father was an illegal alien and ICE was coming to arrest and deport him. And he just left his son. He just ran
left
away.
Him.
And so the ICE agents stood by his son and helped him and were hanging, you know, we're making sure nothing bad happened to him while they had to figure out his father's situation. And, you know, this is the sort of thing our hearts break for the people who are in these tough spots. But that doesn't mean that America loses its sovereignty or its ability to enforce immigration law. Yeah. When you have illegal aliens and you have a president who campaigned on the promise of getting illegal aliens out of the country, particularly the worst of the worst, but not only the worst of the worst, that comes with a lot of difficulty. I mean, when you're fighting crime, when you're fighting the mafia, you're going to run into a lot of tragic situations. And just because something bad happens doesn't mean that ICE is necessarily responsible. And it also doesn't mean that, you know, the overall goal of deporting illegal aliens isn't laudable and isn't something that's going to help Americans overall. And so we have to, you know, we have to be wise about these things. We have to take a step back. And I think what we're seeing broad in the broad scheme of things is the organized left is finding any way to oppose Trump on the ground to make it to present a narrative that says these illegal aliens are fine. The real villain here is the guy who's trying to remove them. And that's not the truth. And I think, you know, I'm grateful that we have an emerging chorus of voices. This story, I was speaking with the men behind Proud American Studios, which is a new media company that exists to amplify and center the voices of veterans from law enforcement. Michael Cole, I might mess his name up, but Kosielniak, he's a leader with this effort. And he served many years, is over a decade, with the Homeland Security investigations.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, many of these people, you know, it takes a lot to enforce the law on these things. And when you're on the ground, you have a boots on the ground perspective that people like Michael will bring to these situations that others don't know. And so when you have the left who's constantly pushing this narrative that the enforcement of immigration law is evil, and they're totally overlooking, you know, what these men are going through when they're trying to enforce the law. Even when you have the best training available, it's going to be difficult in a lot of these situations. And so you get a tragedy like the death of Renee Good or like the death of Alex Preti.
Yeah.
And immediately you have this vast network of activists who are saying these people are martyrs. When, you know, you have to look at it from the law enforcement agent's perspective, and then you have to look at it from what was going on at the time. I mean, Alex Preti, we later saw the video where he was physically attacking law enforcement.
Yeah, I saw that.
It seemed like in the incident where he tragically lost his life, he didn't seem to be involved in this sort of aggressive action. And so there are questions and an investigation needs to be run. But we also have to hear from the perspective of these agents who are trying to carry out the law. And in the case of Renee Good, I think it's a very, very strong self-defense case because you see in the video how the ICE agent was hit by the car. And I don't necessarily attribute malice to Renee Good in that situation. I don't know what was going through her head. But the ICE agent is telling her to stop. The car moves. The car makes contact with him. And then he does what an agent arguably should do in that situation, which is try to protect himself.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that led to Renee Good's death. But, you know, in many of these cases, getting to the bottom of what happened, whether an agent is liable for someone's death, whether, you know, and we want justice. Like if these agents are abusing the law, if they are... I mean, it is a horrific tragedy when one of these protesters dies. And even if they're an agitator, you don't lose your right to life just by getting in the way of law enforcement.
Correct.
That said, you know, that is an important distinction. And we have to have the perspective of law enforcement talking about this. And that's why I'm really glad Proud American Studios is out there producing content. They're going to be championing law enforcement. They have documentaries they're producing about Marco Rubio and about President Trump, as well as they have a lot of these shorter videos, which for the men in the audience, I'm sure, you know, you'd love to see little videos of action that are showing what these agents are going through on a daily basis. And so what these guys have done, they're working, you know, they're like a Hollywood studio, but with actual experience on the ground in enforcing the law. So they know how to tell the stories of fighting organized crime, of getting to the bottom of investigations, and what the action actually looks like for these agents.
Well, that sounds fascinating. I sometimes feel almost helpless because, how can I put this? The left owns most of the media. They really do. And so it's nice to see something like this, Proud American Studios, coming to play. And how much, I wonder, does it cost per month to get their content?
Yeah. So that was one of the things that almost made me laugh when he said it. But they have a subscription service, and for a year it's $99. But if you choose the monthly option, it's $17.76 per month. So I think those numbers should remind us of something, particularly
absolutely.
This year.
Absolutely.
And none other than Superman himself, Dean Cain, has decided to join this effort.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's a really interesting. I was honored to be able to write the exclusive about it.
Well, I think you're doing a great job, and I appreciate talking with you today. Our guest is Tyler O'Neill of the Daily Signal. And Tyler has been following things on the ground. Tyler, tell us about one of your books that you think the folks might be interested in.
Yeah. So I have two books. There's Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and The Woketopus, The Dark Money Cabal Manipulating the Federal Government. And I think, both of them are very relevant. Making Hate Pay continues to, it almost surprises me how continuously relevant the SPLC is. It's tragic in one sense, but I think it's also like I know the negative influence of this group, and I want that to be known by more and more Americans. And so my book explains how a noble civil rights nonprofit became this weapon to demonize conservatives and Christians and the negative influence it's had on our culture.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is very important for people to realize. I really wish that those on the left, as well as those of us on the right, would understand how morally bankrupt the SPLC is, because I think if we want to have an America where we're not at each other's throats, organizations like the SPLC that make their money by comparing mainstream conservatives and Christians to the Ku Klux Klan, they're really exhibit A of what's driving us apart as a country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I opened by mentioning that sometimes we have pastors that get on the woke bandwagon, and they do it for whatever reason, popularity maybe, but they get it wrong. And they do a lot of damage. And I came across one this past weekend. I won't say his name over the air, but the guy is behind the scenes, comes across as very far left and basically Marxist. Hey, tell us how to get a hold of you guys there at the Daily Signal. Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, so you can go to dailysignal.com. You can follow me on X at Tyler2O'Neill. You can follow the Daily Signal pretty much on every platform. We have a very big YouTube presence with all the videos that Victor Davis Hanson has been doing with us.
Yeah.
But we also have podcasts, and we're on pretty much every social media platform with the exception of TikTok. We still have no truck with the Chinese Communist Party. So that is a line in the sand that
That's
we have drawn
funny.
And we will keep.
I love it. Tyler O'Neill, my brother, God bless you and keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks again, Dan. God bless you too.
Here's a question for you. How many leaders of a new nation do you think would humbly lead without setting themselves up as a king or despot? How many would want unlimited power as opposed to a balance of powers despite the messiness this was sure to bring? The first president of these United States would preside over a republic, resisting the temptation to become king. In fact, he was part of the process to ensure the U.S. became a constitutional republic, not a monarchy or ideological dictatorship. Today we reflect back on George Washington, an advocate of rights, liberty, and property over despotism, serfdom, and dependency. Having served as a general in the American War for Independence, he was a beloved figure in our history. Today, Zach Wiss joins us to discuss the history and legacy of President George Washington.
He has streets, cities, states, parks, monuments, even mountains named after him, and for a long time has had his portrait on our single unit of currency. He's America's first unintentional hero, following his gut to do what he knew was right, and wanting not acclaim or recognition after it was all over, but simply to go back home to farming and making a living. That simple desire eluded him most of his life. Through a series of military appointments and political elections to which he couldn't say no, until he was called upon to serve one last time as the first President of the United States. Today, we remember his birthday. He is, of course, George Washington. Maybe His Excellency, at first, but never His Highness, or even worse, His Royal Highness. That would not do for the highest office in this now free land. He was the president who presided over the working affairs not of a monarchy or kingdom, but of a republic. It wasn't his word that was law, but the people's, as represented in institutions like Congress, the courts, and yes, himself in office. And it was the people's word as influenced by the word of God, that if a genuine kingdom, part of that influence, would secure the nation in peace and prosperity through the laws and institutions it had drawn upon and developed. Representative government is, of course, messy, as if we hadn't noticed. It was so right from the beginning. With Jefferson and Hamilton on Washington's first cabinet, there was almost continual internecine warfare between worldviews of federalism or anti-federalism. Washington tried to negotiate between the two, and yet, despite his Virginia farming background, often sided with Hamilton for the overall good of the nation and her economic and political unity in the world. Washington inherited land from his family, which first settled Virginia in the 1650s. But far from what he and other founders are often portrayed as, Washington was no elitist. He received a country boy's version of a classical education at the local Anglican church, and then had an on-again, off-again schooling with a tutor. But his learning mostly took him out of doors to survey land, to experiment in animal husbandry, to grow different kinds of crops, to build and later rebuild his farm, and later to deliberate as a local burgher in Virginia's nascent legislature, or as a vestryman in his church's council, and yes, to tend to his slaves. He disapproved of slavery and hoped for some mode of abolishing it. That the Virginia colony was under orders from the British crown to receive and put to work African slaves is a well-known historical fact, and Washington was one of many Virginia farmers not wanting to continue nor to extend it. Over the years, academics have questioned the sincerity of his Christian faith, but his letters, private papers, and accounts of friends and acquaintances are replete with his bearing testimony to a sovereign, all-good, and benevolent God. To General Thomas Nelson in 1778, he wrote, of escaping a near miss, and that God's hand in it was so conspicuous that anyone doubting it would have to be worse than an infidel that lacks faith, and more than wicked, and thus someone without gratitude to acknowledge his obligations to God. Washington was an 18th century Anglican, or in America, Episcopalian. We may not identify with his church tradition, just as he wouldn't have had with a Christian rock band warming up before a sermon delivered by a minister in blue jeans. We all have traditions, even if they are non-traditional ones. His method and life, as well as his words, showed where his heart was. A recent biography by Peter Lilback demonstrates that, through multiple examples. Washington early made his mark during the French-Indian War, and would follow this service as a delegate to the Continental Congress, leading the Continental Army during the War for Independence as a non-salaried volunteer, and finally as America's first president. He said even before the thought of independence loomed that we are never to submit to the loss of valuable rights and privileges, which are essential to the happiness of every free state, and without which life, liberty, and property are rendered totally insecure. Words that would later appear in the Declaration of Independence, and words also that we should remember, especially in this election year, when rights, privileges, liberty, and property seem once again up for grabs.
Time once again for This Week in History. February 19th, 1942. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signs Executive Order 9066, ordering the roundup and incarceration of anyone of Japanese descent in the United States. His Attorney General, Francis Biddle, observes that Roosevelt is not much concerned over an order that contradicts the Bill of Rights, as the safety of the nation takes priority over the rule of law. February 21, 1885. When Pierre L'Enfant designed the U.S. Capitol, he left room for a lasting tribute to America's first constitutional president. Today, his memorial, the Washington Monument, is dedicated. It is the tallest structure in the world on this day, and District of Columbia law forbids any building in the city to be higher. That was This Week in History, events as man recorded them, as God ordained them.
That's our program for this week. Thanks for joining us. Holding All Things Together is a production of Redeemer Broadcasting, and the views expressed are those of the participants. If you'd like to contact us for any reason, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Cal Carter.
God willing, see you next week.